Perek Debelazer, Perek Yud. We're in the middle of the Perek. We're discussing the story of Yonah being swallowed by the big fish and all these other things that, again, we're talking about this story because it happened on Thursday and because it has to do with fish and whatever. So this is all part of the talking about Thursday. Well, up to the words, Rabbi Tarfon Omer in Perek Yud. Rabbi Tarfon Omer. So what we left off last week was that Yonah was thrown overboard because there was a storm and it was obvious that it was coming from Yonah, and Yonah admitted that it was coming because of him. So they threw him overboard, and as the pasuk says, you know, he was swallowed by a big fish. So Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Memuna haya oisay adog levloya as Yonah misheshes shemei vreshes. That fish was Memuna. It was set aside. It was appointed to swallow Yonah from Sheshes and Mebreshes, from the 6 days of creation. Shenamar Vayiman Hashem dog gadol levloya es Yonah. Vayiman Hashem prepared, lashon of like memuna, like appointed or hazmana to prepare. Hashem prepared a dog gadol, a big fish, levloya es Yonah, to swallow Yonah. Interestingly, Rabbeinu Bechaye in Katakemach writes that when it says dag gadol, he brings this drasha that he was set aside already from the 6 days of creation, and when it says dag gadol, and he brings it from a drasha just from the words dag gadol, big fish. So it doesn't literally mean big fish, because that's obvious it was a big fish, because otherwise how would Yonah be in there? Right? So it says dag gadol doesn't mean big in terms of his mass, rather gadol means in terms of its age. It was a very old fish. He's a big fish. Yeah.
You said this lashon was he created a big fish to follow Yonah.
No,
was that to actually swallow him?
No, we didn't say he created. First of all, we said he appointed Hashem appointed designated a fish to swallow him. Okay. Levloya. Okay. To swallow.
So I have a question then.
Yeah.
This is a very good example of what kind of destiny is it? Is there destiny or is there free choice? Okay? In other words, this statement is an example of Yonah apparently, the Eibishter apparently knew what Yonah was going to do.
Yep.
Whereas Yonah, to his mind, he had a choice in front of him. So the choice was an illusion. This is just one example. They keep on coming up. You know, it's one of the things we live with.
This is one of the old, the age old questions that we have. But we're not going to get into that question now. We could point out that this is one of the examples, and we'll go weiter.
Okay.
Nichnas befiv Adam shu nichnas beves hakneses hagdayla v'amar. Yonah went into the mouth of the big fish. It's like a person who walks into the main sanctuary of a big shul, and he stood there. The Radal says that it uses this imagery of a big shul, because we're going to find later on that Yonah was actually davening inside the fish. Right. Now the Medrash is going to be bothered by a question that's a technical question. How did Yonah have light inside the fishes, inside the big fish? Where did he see things? So the Medrash brings two pshatim. The two eyes of the fish were like windows of a sunroof that lit up for Yonah. Rabbi Meir says, "Magolis achas haisa tuluya b'meyav shel dog." There was one gem or a precious stone that was inside the innards of this fish, meira layona, and it made light for Yonah. Kashemesh hazeshu meir batzaharoyim, like the sun that lightens things in the noon. Vatahimis, and it showed Yonah, and with that Yonah was able to see everything that's in the sea and in the depths of the waters. Va'alav akosav omer, and that's what the pasuk means when it says urzeru al tzadik. The light was planted for the tzaddik. It was there was a light already planted deep inside for the use of the tzaddik. It's interesting that in Parshas Noach,
that phrase is, when we hear it elsewhere, it refers specifically to this.
No, lav dafka.
Okay.
But interestingly, in Parshas Noach, when we talk about the Mabul and Noach at the Teva during the flood, so Rashi in Parshas Noach brings the Medrash Rabbah over there, Bereishis Rabbah, the Medrash over there is also bothered by the same question. Where did Noach have light in the Teva? And the Medrash brings the same two explanations. Either there was a window, or there was a precious stone that was giving off light. So it's the same two explanations as our Medrash over here. It's just interesting.
What do you mean?
Yeah. Well, the Medrash said that he needed the light. It showed him everything that was in the sea and in the depths of the sea.
Well, why did he need to see
the stone is in the fish. How does he see outside of the fish?
No, that's not a question. If you have a flashlight, you could see outside. You have a flashlight in your car, it could help you see things outside the car also.
So I think the eyes were also chalonot. Then, even
right. But we're going to see what's the significance of Yonah seeing all these different. What did Yonah see while he was in the fish? We're going to see he took a tour of the coral reef and all kinds of interesting things. But Amar lei hadog liyona. The fish said to Yonah. Like, you think you're safe over here in the stomach of this big fish? The fish says to Yonah, don't you know that today is my day to be eaten by the Leviathan? We mentioned in the previous parak that all each of the taninim in the sea, each one has is given a specific day that's going to be the food for the Leviathan on that day. So the fish is telling Yonah, you should know that today I'm supposed to be eaten by the Leviathan. So don't think you're all safe over here. So Amar lo Yonah, Halichini atlay. Yonah said to the fish, okay, bring me to the Leviathan. I'll take care of it for you. Let me talk to the Leviathan. Amar Yonah lo Leviathan. Yonah said to the Leviathan, Bishvilcha yaradati. I came down to the depths of the sea because of you. Why? Liris mikay midorcha. To go and see the place where you live. Why? Shani asid li ten chavel bulsheincha ulhalaisacha uvilizbayacha yischal lisud agdele shal tzadikim. Because in the future, I'm gonna come and put a rope down your throat and pull you out of the sea and shecht you for the great suda that's gonna be for the tzaddikim. So the Yonah is telling Leviathan, hey, I came to check it out. So in the future, I'm gonna come back and capture you and kill you and feed you to the tzaddikim. Hera'u chaysamay shel Avraham, and also Yonah showed him the seal of Avraham Avinu. His bris mila, Omar habet la bris, come look at the bris. Meaning Yonah is trying to show the fish, you know, I'm a chash of a person, you know, don't mess with me. V'ra Leviathan, and the Leviathan saw his bris, ubarach mepnei Yonah mahalach shnei yamim. And the Leviathan ran away from Yonah a distance of 2 days. The Radas has an interesting remez or drush over here that 2 days is like, it's talking about days of Hashem's years, and it's 2,000 years, and it's talking about how it means that the geula is going to be within 2,000 years. It's not going to be now, it's going to be later. Okay, I'm not sure exactly what the Radal is saying, but the Radal has some sort of drush about this. But there's a few interesting points over here. First of all, we're talking about this Suda HaGadosh al Tzadikim. There's going to be a big, major Suda for Tzadikim, La'asid Lavay. It's coming from a Gemara in Bava Basra on Daf Ayin Hey Amir Aleph, Amir Rabbah, Osir HaGadosh Baruch Hu La'asid Suda La'Tzadikim Mebisachay Shel Leviathan. In the future, HaGadosh Baruch Hu is going to make a meal for the Tzadikim out of the meat of the Leviathan. Also, the Gemara says a similar thing. It says that Hashem is going to bake a sukkah out of the skin of the Leviathan. That's a famous thing that we say that when we leave the sukkah on the last day of Sukkot. So we say, especially Yehiratzen, that we should be zeicha to sit in the Sukkot Or Leviathan. But here the Gemara says that Hashem is going to make a meal for the tzaddikim out of the meat of the Leviathan. Now, it seems to be, from Pirkei Avos over here, that it literally means that Hashem is going to do that, and make a meal for the tzaddikim, and they're going to eat the meat of the Leviathan. Because Yonah is sort of threatening the Leviathan, I'm going to come and shecht you, and I'm bringing you for this meal. I'm going to serve you for dinner. It's not so pashut. The Rashba in Pirish HaGadus, Mesachas Bava Basra, as well as Rabbeinu Bechaye, who was a Talmud of the Rashba, in Parshas Bereishis, he brings from the Rashba that It doesn't literally mean that people are going to come, all the tzaddikim are going to sit around and eat from the meat of the Leviathan. That's not what it means. Rather, they explain Api Kabbalah and different things. It doesn't mean what we think it means literally. It means it's really it's a remez or a mashal for something else, a higher level of existence or whatever. But it doesn't literally mean it. On the other hand, I found that the Pirush Rekeach al Torah, interestingly, in Parshas Bereishis, on the pasuk of Vayivra Elikim es Hataninim Hagdolim, which we said in Parak Tes, is talking about the creation of the Leviathan. So the Rekech says, all these guzmoy, kol guzmoy shenemru al Leviathan, all these different exaggerations that you heard about the Leviathan, all these different things where people exaggerate and say things about the Leviathan, MS, it's all true. It's all, and it's literally true. Umi yoichlo yisoy, and who's going to eat the Leviathan? Anshei emes, the people of truth. Sheoiskin betayas emes, who toil in the Torah of truth. And the Brekech says, all this is merumas in that pasuk. It says, Vayivra elikim es hataninim agadadim, Vayivra elikim es, the last letter of each of those three words is Aleph Mem Tav, emes. Vayivra elikim es. So the Rekach seems to say that all of this is mamish true, like literally, they're going to the Talmidei Chachamim are going to, who are Isaac and Teres MS, it's the MS that they're going to eat from this Leviathan. Also, Rabbeinu Bechaye himself, we said before that he quotes from his Rebbe, the Rajba, that it's not meant to be taken literally, but Rabbeinu Bechaye himself, in at least three places, writes that it is literal. Rabbeinu Bechaye in Parshas Bishalach, Perek Tezayin Pasuk Dalet, in the Sefer Katakemach on the word Chosun, and in the Sefer Shulchan Shel Arba at the end of the Shai Revi'i, he writes that no, literally is going to be that people are going to eat from the Sudo, the Tzadikim, they're going to literally eat from the Basar of the Leviathan. And Rabbeinu Bechaye also says an interesting thing that the meat of the Leviathan is something that's mesugal to make people seichel straight. It makes people. It makes you smart if you eat from the oil of the Leviathan. And also, the Ramah also says the Ramah has a sefer on Megillas Esther called Mechir Yayin. Mechir Yayin Perek Tes Pasuk Yud Zayin. He also writes that it's literal this suda of the Leviathan. So you see, it's a machlokes over here in Rishonim how to understand if this suda of the Leviathan is really going to happen literally, or it's a remnant for something else. My friend, I have a good friend named Rav Tzvi Mordechai Liber. He wrote a sefer on Masechet Sukkah called Ateres Kadmonim. And his sefer on Sukkah, Daf Beis Amud Beis, he talks about the suda of the Leviathan. And he brings more Rishonim that some say like this, some say like this, whether it's literal or not. For example, he brings that in the letters of the, there's a sefer called Yad Ramah, Masechet Sanhedrin. In the new print in the back, there's letters between the Ramah and the Rash Mishans. And over there, the Rash Mishans writes that it's literal. It's really going to happen, the Suda of the Leviathan. People are really going to eat from the meat of the Leviathan. And he says that it's going to happen B'Yimais HaMashiach. And not in Olam Haba. There's a difference in the terminology between what we call Yimais HaMashiach and Olam Haba. Yimais HaMashiach, the Gemara says, Ein Bein Olam Hazel Yimais HaMashiach El Shibud Malchiyos Bilvad. Yimais HaMashiach is going to be exactly like what we have, what we're living in now. The only difference is going to be that we're not going to be subservient to Goyish kings. We're going to be subservient to Mashiach. That's Yimais HaMashiach. On the other hand, Olam Haba and Olam Hazeh is like two different. It's two different ways of existence. Olam Haba, the Gemara says, is there's no the people ain't achila lo ishtia. People don't. You're not going to eat. You're not going to drink. None of these things will exist. It'll be like a spiritual plane of existence, not a physical level of existence. So the Rash Mishans, that also Rav Avram ben Ahar in the end of his sefer Milchamas Hashem, writes the same thing, that this Suda is a literal Suda that's going to happen, and it's going to be B'Yimais HaMashiach, not B'Olam Haba, because B'Yimais HaMashiach people are still going to be eating. Other Mefarshim, my friend brings down Rav Aaron Meluniel, who is quoted over there in the Igres HaRama, and also Rav David HaKechavi in Sefer HaBatim, they write, no, this supposed Suda is going to be in Olam Haba, and Olam Haba is going to be a time and a place when people won't be eating, they won't be eating and drinking. So they say that it's not literal, it's all, it's a mashal, it's something, it's talking about something greater. So we see already that it's a machlekes in the Rishonim.
Literal. And what's the point? I don't get it. So the tzaddikim are going to eat meat of a beast. So what? Let them eat cake.
I don't get it. You know, it's supposed to let them eat cake. No, that was uttered by what's her name?
It's obviously something greater than that. Even if they're actually literally going to eat it, it means something.
So
what does it mean? Rabbeinu Bachai says, when I said over there that he said that it makes the people smarter, it doesn't literally mean it makes people smarter. He says that it means, like, because fish has to do with the sea, and sea is like clarity. So when people eat from the fish of the Lev Yosef, it'll give you clarity. It'll clear up the different fogginess in the brain and give you straight sight. That's what Rabbeinu Bachai says. There's one more nekuda about whether this thing is literal or not. In your edition of the Pirkei Avot Lazar, it has in the back a pirush from Rabbeinu Yedaya Hapnini. And he brings down these two explanations, whether it's literal or not meant to be literal. He's mesupik which mahalach to take. But he brings these two explanations. Fine, that's talking about whether this pseudo of the Lev Yosef is literal or not. Back to the Ikur Nekud over here is that Yonah was telling the Lev Yosef that you better be scared of me, because I came down here to check you out so that in the future I'm going to be able to hunt you down and kill you and serve you to the tzaddikim for dinner. That's what Yonah said to the Lev Yosef. If you look in the Gemara, this same Gemara that we're talking about in the Bava Basra, it starts on Ayin Dalad Amin Bez and goes to Ayin Hei Amar Aleph. It says Omer Kiyosar Rav Dimi Omer Rav Yechanan. He said, "Also, Gavriel lasses kenigia im Lev Yosef. Gavriel, the Malach, is going to make a kenigia with the Lev Yosef." Rashi says kenigia means he's going to make hunting. He's going to turn him into a game, maybe. Tzedas chayas. He's going to capture him with a spear or something like that. Shneimar or whatever. Hatim sheich Lev Yosef bechika uvechelat hashkia l'shenei. And if the Gemara says, "Vil mali Kadosh Baruch Hu Israel ein yacholoi." If it wasn't that a Kadosh Baruch Hu would help Gavriel went down the Lev Yosef, he wouldn't be able to do it. Shenemar ha'oisa yigash charboi, which is the pasuk. Where did I see that pasuk bring down? Yeah, it's a pasuk that the Pirkei Avot Lazar is going to bring down in the next parak about the Lev Yosef. But it seems from the Gemara that Gavriel is going to hunt down the Lev Yosef La'asid Lovei, not Yonah. So I was bothered by this question. It seems to be a contradiction between the Gemara that says Gavriel is going to do it and Pirkei Avot Lazar, which says that Yonah is going to do it. So I was looking around for a question that answered this. I found two sources. One is Rabbi Eliyahu HaKoyen of Izmir, who wrote a pirush called It's called Vloy Oid Ella on Pirkei Avot Lazar, but he also wrote Vloy Oid Ella on a few other midrashim. Medrash Tanchuma Parshas VeYikra, he asks this question, the steer between the Gemara and Pirkei Avot Lazar, and he says when Pirkei Avot Lazar says that Yonah is going to hunt down the Lev Yosef, it doesn't literally mean that Yonah is going to do it. It means Yonah is going to help Gavriel the Malach do it. So that's how he answers the question. And the Leshem, you know who the Leshem was? He was the grandfather of Rav Eliashiv. It was a big mekubal. So the Leshem in his Sefer Adeya, Chelik Beis, asks this question, and he says the whole answer that I don't begin to understand. Api Kabbalah, whatever, something that Yonah is Midas Gevura and Gavriel is Midas Gevura. So somehow that answers the question exactly. I don't know exactly what he's talking about. But one day we'll be able to be zeicha to understand these things, and it will be pashut. Fine. Amen. That's right. Let's go weiter. Fine. So we got rid of the Lev Yosef is not going to come chase after Yonah's fish right now. Omar loy. So now the fish said to Yonah, "Harei hitzalticha mipiv shel Lev Yosef." No, Omar loy. Sorry, Yonah said to the fish, "Harei hitzalticha mipiv shel Lev Yosef. I saved you from the mouth of the Lev Yosef. Now you're not going to be eaten by Lev Yosef." Hareini ma kol ma shebeyamu batahimis. Please show me all these things that exist in the sea and in the depths of the sea. I want to see everything. Mr. Fish, I saved you. Now you owe me, so help me out. Show me everything. Right? Veherehu nahar gadol shel meme ukyanus. So the fish showed Yonah the river that goes into the Atlantic Ocean. Shnemer Tohaimi Seveveni. The Radal makes a cheshbon that the Yonah was leaving from Yafo, and Yafo is on the coast of the Mediterranean. So the fish took Yonah to the place the Mediterranean meets the Atlantic Ocean. In other words, the Straits of Gibraltar, I guess. That's what he showed him. Then the Hariyahu Yamsuf, Shavu B'Sarich Yisrael. He showed him the Yamsuf, for Klal Yisrael crossed the Yamsuf by Kriyas Yamsuf. Shnemar Suf Chavush L'Reishi. And then the fish took Yonah and showed him the place where the sea is the strongest and from where the waves come out. And then the fish showed Yonah the pillars of the land and where it stands up. Because we said before in Pirkei Avot Lazar, where was it? Maybe in Perek Hey, I think it was maybe that we said that the earth is on top of the sea like a canopy. So then there were like these things holding it up. We didn't know what it meant, but whatever it means, that's what the fish showed Yonah. Shenemar ha'aretz bricha ba'adi lo'elam. Ve'erohu gehenim. The fish showed Yonah gehenim. Shenemar v'tam ishachas chayai Hashem elikoi. He brought me down from the depths of destruction. He brought my life, Hashem, my God. Ve'erohu she'el tachtis. And the fish showed Yonah Sheol Tachtis, which is like an even lower level of Gehenim. It's like the real strong part of Gehenim. Shenamar mi ben Sheol Shivati Shamati Koili. From the stomach of the Sheol, I called out and you heard my voice. Veherohu Heichal Hashem. And the fish showed Yonah the Beis Hamikdash, where the Beis Hamikdash was. Shenemar, Lekitzvei Horim Yeradeti. To the gathering of mountains, I went down. And says the Medrash, Mikan anu lemedim shirushalayim al shiva horim hi ha'imedes. From here we learn that Yerushalayim is sitting on seven mountains. Because it says a gathering of mountains, and that's talking about the Beis Hamikdash. The Radal interestingly says that the Vilna Gaon takes out this line of about the seven mountains. It says in No Shaychus. The Radal in parentheses says that maybe it's talking. He gives seven names of mountains that have to do with Yerushalayim. It says maybe that's what it's talking about. There's Har Tzion, Har Maria, Har Kodesh, Har Tzvi Kodesh, Har Beis Hashem, Har Hashem Tzvokis, and Har Meroim Horim. These are seven names that we find in Tanakh that are given for the mountain that the Beis Hamikdash is given on, it was built on, and the Radal says that maybe this is a remnant to that Indian, the seven mountains that the Beis Hamikdash is built on. This is Har HaZeisim, of course, is not in Yerushalayim, so that's not, well, it wasn't in ancient Yerushalayim at least, and that's not counted in these seven mountains. Right. Herohu Evan Shisia, Kvua Batahim is Tachas Eichel Hashem. The fish showed Yonah the Evan Shisia, the foundation stone that's set in the depths underneath the Beis Hamikdash, and that was the stone that the world was created from. We're going to see later on in Perek Lamed Hey that Perek Avot Lazar talks about this Evan Shisia. That was, you know, in the second Beis Hamikdash they didn't have the Aron, they just had the Evan Shisia in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Okay. Ubnei Korach einam mispalin aleha, and the sons of Korach are standing and davening over there under the ground. They're davening next to the Evan Shisia, and the Radal says that this is like the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer and the Gemara in Sanhedrin that says that in the future the sons of Korach are going to come back. There's a whole machlikas over there. If the sons of Korach are einam chaylik olam haba, or they died or this or that. So this is going with that Shita.
They survived.
Because before the pasuk of Nekayach
LeMesu, yeah, they wrote Tehillim afterwards.
Right, that's also it's brought in Chazal.
Just
from
the seven that wrote.
Right.
So that's not agreed upon by everyone.
Right. Okay. Now this next part, there's three different ways to explain what happened in the next part of the story. Pirkei Avot Lazar goes one way, and then there's two other ways. There's two other versions of the story. So we're going to read Pirkei Avot Lazar, and then we're going to speak out all the other explanations and discuss them. Omer Loi Hadag, the fish said to Yonah, Yonah, Hare Ata Oimi Tachas Hegel Hashem. Behold, you are standing underneath the Beis HaMikdash, the sanctuary of God. Hispalo v'atanana. You're right over here. Go pray, go daven, and you'll be answered. Omar Yona l'adog. So Yona said to the fish, Amoid bimkoim amdecha. Stay still where, in the place where you're standing right now. Don't swim around. Stay over here. Shani mevakesh hispalo, because I want to daven. Omar hadog. So the fish came to a standstill. V'hischol Yona l'hispalo afnei kodesh baruch hu. And Yona began to pray in front of Hashem. For Omar, he said in front of him, Ribbono shel Olam, Master of the Universe, Nikreisa Moirid Umayla, you are called one who brings things down and one who brings things up. The Radal says it's a pasuk in Shmuel, in the Tefillah of Chana. Hashem Meimi Sumechaye Moirid Shaol V'Yal. Hashem brings life and kills and brings life. Hashem brings down and brings up. Yuraditi, I fell down. Halaini, bring me up. Nikreisa Meimi Sumechaye. Hashem, you are called the one who kills and brings to life. Harei nafshi yigia l'mavis. My soul has come to the point of death. Hachayeni, bring me to life. V'loi na'ana, and Hashem didn't answer him. Ad sheyatzu mipiv davar zeh, until these words came out of his mouth. V'amar, Yonah said, Asher nodarti ashalema. This which I promised you, I will fulfill. Meaning, Asher nodarti l'halois es levyasin v'lezbechas elefanecha. This that I promised, that I'm going to pull out the Leviathan from the sea and shecht him in front of you. Ashalem b'yem Yeshuas Yisrael, and I promise that I'm going to fulfill that promise on the day that Klal Yisrael is saved. Meaning, la'asid lo b'yem Mashiach. Miad, Ramez HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem made up a remez to the fish. V'hishlech as Yonah, and the fish threw out Yonah. Shenamah says in the pasuk, V'yemah Hashem la'dog, v'yakei as Yonah el ha'yabasha. Hashem spoke to the fish, and it spit out Yonah to the dry land. So that's how basically what happened in a nutshell is that they were under the Beis HaMikdash, and the fish turns to Yonah and says, no, Mr. Yonah, you're here under the Beis HaMikdash. This is the best time for you to daven. Go daven. The fish gave him an etzah to go daven. Yonah davened, and Hashem saved him, and the fish spit him out, and he ended up back on dry land. That's basically the story over here in Pirkei Avos Eliezer.
It seems like Yonah has a new perspective on life at this stage. Like when he left, was thrown into the sea, whatever, he was running away. He didn't want to do his job, and he had his reasons for it. But it appears like while he was in the fish, whatever, he saw wonders that he'd never seen before, and he was like, it seems like he was rejuvenated. And he comes out, and he doesn't have the same problem he had when he went in.
That's right.
That's what it appears. It wasn't as if while he was there, he dafka had to do tshuva. It doesn't sound like this was tshuva at all.
So I'll tell you like this. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz in Sichas Musar says like what did Yonah do wrong? What Yonah did wrong was that he made his own cheshbon. Like, what am I supposed to? Hashem told me to do this. What am I supposed to do? He made his whole cheshbon, and he came out that I should run away. I shouldn't go. And that's why he escaped and tried to get out of the whole thing. Over here, when he's under the sea and all these things and he sees all these wonders and these nisim. Let's say he's reminded of Kriyas Yamsuf and he sees the wonders of how Gehenim works and how the seas the powers of the seas and he's under the holy places. He realized that there's something greater than him. There's something working over here that's beyond your own seichel.
What's my cheshvan?
There's something beyond my cheshvan. There's things that I can't understand. Hashem sent me to go to Nineveh. Okay, it doesn't make sense. I don't want to cause pain to Klal Yisrael, like we said last week, and I don't want to bring about. But no, Hashem sent me. Okay, I'm going to do it. It's beyond me. I'm not the person to make cheshvanos like that. That's sort of what Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says. So you're right. You're touching on that nekuda.
But it's dafka not a tshuva the way we understand the tshuva. You know, tshuva. It's there's no in terms of the various points of
right.
To do tshuva. That's not here at all.
Right.
It's like he's refreshed.
Right.
It's a different perspective.
I mean, your tshuva is like if you did an avera, so you do tshuva. Here, not necessarily was what Yonah did an avera, right. Not even. It's not pashat if Yonah did what you would call like an itzer. It's something that's usher. It's not clear if this is considered kavish nevuasa or whatever. It's not clear because we mentioned last week that
we agreed that after all this experience, he was already ready to do whatever Hashem commanded him to do, like before all that happened, or not.
What do you mean?
Are you ready now?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's tshuva.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
No, but I'm saying tshuva implies that you did an avera.
Yeah.
Here it's not an avera. He was coming from the wrong mindset. Hashem is helping him get back to the right mindset.
You're right. If he was needed to do some tshuva,
right.
Some level of tshuva. That's the level of tshuva.
Right.
Let's call it something else, which is not the word. Let's call it tshuva.
I mean, we do read Yonah as the maftir on Yom Kippur in the afternoon. We know that Yonah has to do with tshuva. So this is the way the
Yonah has to do with doing whatever Hashem
tells you to do without making your cheshbon.
Wants you to do without questioning.
Right. Exactly. Fine. So that, in a nutshell, that's the story over here. That the fish told Yonah, you should take advantage of your situation over here under the Beis Hamikdash. Daven. And you'll be answered, and he davened, and he was answered, and then that's basically the end of the story from Yonah's perspective over here. The Yalkut Shemayni in Sefer Yonah, it's also brought in Rashi in Sefer Yonah and other Rishonim, and also it's printed in Eitzer Midrashim in the Medrash Yonah, has a slightly different version of this story over here. And it's interesting because Yalkut Shemayni in Remez Tav Kuf Nun in Sefer Yonah brings this entire parak, Pirkei Avot Eliezer. Even it brings a little bit of the last parak, which talks about like a few things that happened on Thursday. It brings a few things that happened on Thursday, then it talks about this which happened on Thursday, and it goes exactly word for word the whole parak. Except in the middle, basically word for word, in the middle, instead of what we just said before, it has like a whole nother story about Yonah with the fish, and then it continues off from the middle of Yonah's tefillah. So I'm going to read to you what it says in the Yalkut Shemoni's version of the story. And the last thing we said was the Bnei Korach were there by the Evan Shasi, and they were davening. And then it says like this: V'ha'ya Yonah shleisha yamin v'shleisha leilis b'mei hadog. Yonah was in 3 days and 3 nights in the innards of the fish. V'lo yispel, and he didn't daven. Omar Kadosh Baruch Hu, ani herchavti le'mokim be'mei dog zohar kedesh le'yitzar. Hashem said, I made room for him in the innards of a male fish so that he won't have pain. V'lo yinam yispel, he's not even davening. Ani mizamein doga mu'uberes. I'm going to prepare for him a female doga who's pregnant. Shin Samechei Alofim Revolves Dogim Ketanim, that has inside of her 365,000 fish, little fish, inside her innards. Kedush Yitzdar V'Yitzbar Alofanei, so that Yonah will have, won't be so comfortable in there, and then he'll want to daven. Why? Because the Kedush Baruch Hu desires the prayers of Tzadikim. At that moment, Hashem prepared for him a pregnant fish. So the female fish said to the male fish, "Ish navi shebimeyacha shogati kodesh baruch hu leboloi." That prophet man that's in your stomach, Hakadosh Baruch Hu sent me to swallow him. So you spit him out, and I'll swallow him. If you spit him out, okay, good. Then I'll swallow him, it'll be good. If you don't spit him out, I'm going to swallow you, and then since he's in your stomach, you'd be in my stomach, then I'll have him. So the male fish said to the female fish, who said that what you're telling me is true? Maybe Hashem didn't send you to swallow Yonah. I'm not going to spit out the Navi just so you could swallow him. Who said that's true? Omer Lev Yosson. Speak to Lev Yosson. It's Lev Yosson. They went to Lev Yosson. Omer Loi Doga The female fish said to Leviathan, Leviathan, Melech al kol degei hayam, Mr. Leviathan, the king of all the fish in the sea. Iata yedea sheshagani HaKadosh Baruch Hu etzel dag zeh levlei ish navi shebimeyav. Don't you know that Hashem sent me to the male dog so that I could swallow this prophet man that's in his innards? Amar lehen, the Leviathan said, yeah. So the fish said to the male fish said to Leviathan, oh, when did you hear that Hashem sent this female fish? I heard this in the 3 hours we said before that Hashem plays with the Leviathan. So the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah that Hashem plays with the Leviathan the 3 hours of the day. So this Leviathan saying back, it's going to Avodah Zarah. So Leviathan saying that, yeah, I heard that during those 3 hours that I was playing with Hashem. I don't know what that means, but when I was playing with Hashem, that's when I heard that Hashem is sending a female fish to take the Navi. So the male fish spit out Yonah and Ubalasai Hadaga, and the female fish swallowed Yonah. And Yonah was in a lot of pain because it was squishy and it was dirty in the female fish. Miad kiven liba b'tfila, and so Yonah was mechaven his lave for davening. Shneimar b'spalo Yonah v'chulu b'mei adaga, and from the inside of the daga. Omar gives a whole tefila that Yonah said. Should I read it? Or it's boring. Rebellion ha'alami, master of the universes, ana eilech meyuchecha. From where can I go from your spirit? How can I escape you? Va'ana mipanecha evrach. From where can I run away from you? Imasak shayim v'chu. Ata melech al kol mamlocha. You're the king over all the kingdoms. Va'adin kol reg zeitevel. You're the master over the whole world. Kisecha shemei shomayim ve'eretz hadim raglecha. Your chair is the heavenly of the heavens, and the land is your ottoman. Remember we said the chair, the footstool. Malchuscha b'maraim, your kingdom is in the highest places. Memshaltecha ba'imik, and you rule in the deepest places. Ma'ase kol ha'adam galuyim lefanecha, the deeds of all men are revealed in front of you. But Taluma is called Gever Purusha Islacha, and the hidden things of all people of all men are explained to you. Dachei kol adam atachiker, the ways of every person you investigate. Umitzadei kol chayat abaychin, and the paths of all living things you check out. Sisrei kloyes atayedea, the secrets of the kidneys you know. Raz, because the Gemara says that the kidneys gives itza. So the eitz could be like a hidden thing. Raze levaris atamevin, the secrets of the hearts you understand. Kol mistorim gluim lefanecha, all hidden things are revealed in front of you. Ein taluma yislifnei kisei chvaydecha, there's nothing hidden from in front of your the chair of your holiness, the throne of your holiness. Ve'ein yista meneged einecha, nothing is hidden from opposite your eyes. Call Raz at the Seder, you put in order all the secrets. V'chol dover at the Sach, and everything you speak about. V'chol hakayim at the Sham, every place you are there. Einecha tzufos roim v'tovim, your eyes see all good and all bad. V'bekasha mimcha aneni mibetin she'el, please, I request from you, please answer me from the depths of the stomach of the Sha'ol, which is said is the level of Mekahenim. V'yishieni b'mitzula, and save me from the depths of the sea. V'tavoy bi'aznecha shavosi, and my calling out should reach your ears. U'malei bakashosi, and should fulfill my request. Sha'at yeshiv barachik v'shemeya b'koriv, because you're sitting far away and you're listening as if things are close. Nikresa mala u'mayrid, you're called mala and mayrid, and then it goes on and says the exact same thing as the Ar Medrash Pirkei Avos Eliezer. In a nutshell, this version of the Medrash is saying that first Yonah was in the mouth in a dog in a male fish, and then the dog basically spit him out to a female fish, and then it wasn't comfortable in the female fish, and that prompted him to start davening, and then he davened, and then the same end of the story, Hashem let him out.
That's all the
Mefarshim
bring.
That bring, right? Not like Pirkei Avos Eliezer. They bring this whole a different story. So where's the Yalkut Shemayin? This Medrash coming from the Yalkut Shemayin? This Medrash. If you look good in the Psukim, there's a reason why they're saying this. It's a drush in the Psukim. Because it says like this. in the beginning of Perek Beis in Yonah, it says, "Vayiman Hashem dog gadol." Hashem prepared a big fish livloya es Yonah to swallow Yonah. Vayhi Yonah b'mei a dog shloshim u'mishlosh leilos. It was in the fish's innards 3 days and three nights. Vayispel Yonah Hashem alikov b'mei a dog gadol. Yonah prayed to Hashem from the innards of the dog gadol. Here it's, all of a sudden it says the word dogga. It doesn't say the word dog. So that prompted the Medrash to see, wait, there's two things happening here. First we're talking about he was in a dog, and then when for 3 days, and then it says when he was davening, he was in a dogga. So that's why the Medrash wanted to say that he was in there for 3 days, and Hashem...
Exactly at that order.
What?
But the daga and then the dog, but it says in Yonah dog and then daga.
Right.
Not exactly.
What do you mean?
Love dog the same sequence that we see in Yonah.
No, that's what I'm saying. In the psukim it says that he was swallowed by a dog and he was in the dog for 3 days and then he was davening from the dog from the inside of the daga.
That's what I'm saying. He was in the dog after, not before. Before he was davening.
Why?
No. What do you mean? Because he was trapped in there because there were children in there.
Right.
Oh, so that's the second one? There's a dugout?
Yeah.
Also
the second one prompted him to pray finally because there was no room.
Oh, that
the
was
the up until that point, he was.
He had Barabbas. He was in a hotel.
Yeah.
I didn't understand that discussion with the two of, you know, fish, like the Vyas and then.
Yeah, I know. It was just interesting.
The big fish was the male trying to swallow Yana because he was commanded to do so.
Right.
And he was already inside the daga.
No, he was in the dog, and the dog came and said, "You should spit him out and let me swallow him." And the dog is like, "Oh, why should I do that? Maybe you're lying." So the dog said, "Okay, go ask the Leviathan." So Leviathan said, "Yeah, Hashem really said that the dog should take over now instead of the dog."
He was privy to what was going on.
Right.
He played three. He has to play 3 hours a day.
So that's this version of the Medrash that dog means male fish and doga means female fish, and the story goes along like that. So we have two. So far we have two versions of the story. Now there's a third version. The third version is in the Zohar in Parshas Bishalach on page Mem Chasmaralf. The Zohar says Yonah was in the fish and the fish died. And then, and for 3 days, he was inside this dead fish, and all the other fish were like surrounding it and threatening to eat it, and Yonah was getting very scared. And then he started davening. And then Yonah davened that the fish should come back to life, and the fish came back to life. Yeah, that's what the Zohar says. And Rabbeinu Bachaye in Katekemach also goes with this explanation of the Zohar that's what happened, and he doesn't quote the Zohar, which is interesting. Because he lived before the Zohar was printed, possibly before the Zohar was published, possibly. Anyway, Kitzur. So Rabbeinu Bachaye also goes with this mahalach that it was alive and then it died and then he davened for it to come back to life. And Rabbeinu Bachaye explains that's the pshat in the psukim. First it says dog, because dog means fish, and then it says he prayed from the meimei hadaga, from the innards of the daga. The word daga, says Rabbeinu Bachaye, means dead fish. Dog means fish. Doga means dead fish. He brings a pasuk in our parsha. It says in this week's parsha, in parsha's va'era, it said va'dog by makas dam. It says va'dog asher bayor meila va'yivash hayor. The doga that was in the river died, and the river started smelling. So he says that doga means dead fish. So that's the mahalach of Rabbeinu Bachaye.
Died.
What?
It was a dog. It was a living dog that died.
Right.
And it became known, that's the name of
that. It's called daga, even though it was alive.
Hello? Oh?
You see the pasuk.
No.
Because when he prayed from the belly of the daga, it was dead.
We're talking about three psukim over here. We're going to talk about a fourth one in a moment, but three psukim. Hashem prepared a dog gadol. Yeah, the dog gadol, and Yonah was inside the dog. Right? So it says dog for 3 days. Oh, he's saying it was when it says it was in there for 3 days.
No,
here, because it should say because it already died at the point that he was there for 3 days.
No, I hear. In this week's parsha, was saying that the fish died.
Oh, yeah, it's accurate. He's saying it's the same thing.
The dog died.
So that tells you that dog doesn't mean
died.
Right.
Right. So what's
You're asking a good question. Saying it's you see in the pasuk the exact opposite. That Dagon means it's alive.
Who am I? But
I'm gonna hopefully I'll have time to I'll mention a similar question and his answer could be the same as the answer for you. But Be'ezras Hashem. So we have the Medrash that says dog means male and doga means female. We have the Zohar and Rabbeinu Bachaya that's going with dog means alive and doga means dead. And we have Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, which doesn't say anything about two fish, b'chlal. It doesn't. Our Medrash doesn't seem to darshan anything about if the fish is dead or alive or male or female. No two fish. It's just a straight thing that the fish told Yonah when they were under the. Basically, they just go daven and he daven and that was it. So let's ask the question like this: What does Pirkei Rabbi Elazar do with the fact that it says dog and doga? So the Radak in Sefer Yonah says that the word dog and doga it's the same thing. It's just sometimes it's written like Lashon Zohar, sometimes it's written like Lashon Akeva, but it's more or less it's the same thing. We're not makbid about that. Okay, you could say that Pirkei Rabbi Elazar understood it like that. Right, so there's a Gemara really that talks about this, a very interesting Gemara, and the Mefarshim on it are even a little bit even more interesting. We'll just speak about this. The Gemara in Nedarim Daf Nun Aleph Amid Beis. The Gemara in Nedarim says like this: that if a person makes a neder that he's not going to eat dog shani toyim also bigdalim umut bigtanim. If you make a neder, you're not going to eat dog. You're also to eat big fish, but you're allowed to eat small fish. Doga, if you make another, you're not going to eat doga. Then you're also to eat small fish, but you're mutter to eat big fish. So basically, the Gemara is saying that dog means big fish, doga means small fish. Yeah. So then the Gemara says like this: Amalei Rav Papa L'Abaye. How do you know that dog means big fish? Because it says in the pasuk, our pasuk over here, Vayiman Hashem dog gadol levloya esyayna. Hashem appointed a big fish to swallow Yonah. V'haksiv, it says in another pasuk, V'yitzbal Yonah el Hashem elikov mimei hadoga. The Yonah davened to Hashem from inside the doga. So you see that doga also means big fish because Yonah was inside a doga. So the Gemara, what?
It shouldn't
be
enough to swallow it.
One second. So the Gemara answers, holy kasha, this is not a kasha. Dilma palti dogodo ubali dog katan. Maybe a big fish swallowed Yonah, and then the big fish spit him out, and a small fish swallowed him, and that's why first it says dog, because dog is a big fish, and then it says doga, because vis-a-vis the first fish, the second fish was a smaller fish. Compared to the first one, it's a smaller fish. Now, the Gemara said, "How do you just to speak out your point? How do you know that that dog means big fish? Because it says in the pasuk, 'Vayiman Hashem dog gadol levloya esyana, a big fish to swallow Yonah.' So it says the Meloy Haroyim on the Gemara in the Nedarim. It says, I mean, it's the pasuk says dog gadol, a big fish. Now, if dog means gadol, so why does it have to say dog gadol? It should have just said dog, because dog means gadol." Similar to your type of question. And he answers, you can only make such a diuk when you're talking about halachas. When you're talking about a story and the Torah adds an extra word and you want to be medayik that if we didn't have that extra word you wouldn't have known that thing, you don't say that when the Torah is saying a story. You only make such a diuk when the Torah is saying a halacha. I think this is a big klal. From the Meloy Haroyim Nedarim Daf Nun Aleph Amud Beis. So this is the same thing with what you're saying. Chami, the doga died. You're saying, oh, that sounds like Duggan means alive. But no, it's saying over the story. That's what happened.
It's going both ways. Right. To make a dick like I did.
Yeah,
you know,
I hear.
To make a dick like a, you know, the other way around.
Because when we're talking about dead fish, we use the word Duggan.
It's exactly like a dead fish. You can say that.
Yeah. I don't know. Really what I wanted to do is take a kunkansi and go through and see it, every time it says the word doga, does it really mean dead fish? But I didn't have a chance to do that. Well, so then the Gemara asks another question. The Gemara is saying, doga means big fish, doga means small fish, right? So then the Gemara asks from this pasuk that we're just talking about, from that pasuk in this week's parasha, right? where it says by Magas Dan that the Daga died. So if the word Daga means small fish and Dag means big fish, Ktanim Mesu, Gdelim Le Mesu, only the small fish died, but the big fish didn't die by Magas Dan? No, they all died. So the Gemara says, El Daga Mashma Gdelim Mashma Ktanim, Udam Alecha Chaloshim Le Adam. So the Gemara says, really, rather the word Daga doesn't have any, then it doesn't have any implications. It could be Mashma big fish, it could be Mashma small fish. And it's the same thing. As basically, the Gemara saying Daga and Dog is the same thing. It doesn't mean anything. And in regard to the Dharm, so it makes a difference in Halacha, because in the Dharm you go after usage, and the way people use the word Dog, and the way they use Daga, it means different things. But in when we're talking about Pesukim, the Pesukim use Daga and Daga to mean Dog and Daga to mean the same thing. So that's Pshat Pirkei de Beleza. That doesn't darshan anything, because the Gemara is saying Dog and Daga mean the same thing. Interestingly, I was just thinking about this before. My wife told me once, I don't know if this says this anywhere, but she says that when you, if you see two animals, one's a male and one's a female, but you don't know which one is which, but they're called the bigger one is the male and the smaller one is the female. I don't know where she got that from or whatever, but because they have these two geese down there by building 42, I think it was. They have two geese. The big one is the small one. So the big one is the male one and the small one is the... So that's the way it is.
Sometimes it works, you know, the other way around.
Yeah, I don't know.
Sometimes, you know, whatever insects we have, like the male is a little small and the female is big.
Right, like a bee. The bee is supposed to...
The queen. The queen, and the every male serves the queen.
That's right.
Depends on...
It's like humans.
On what type of society you're in.
Yeah.
Very open one.
Everyone wants that.
The Gemara is, the Gemara is saying Dag and Daga is big and small, and then the Gemara doesn't say anything about male and female, but okay, that's the Gemara. Could be that's the Pshat and Pirkei de Beleza as well. But what's interesting is like this. Later on in the Pesukim, at the end of the story, when Yonah gets spit back onto the dry land, so the Pasuk says like this. This is Perek Beis, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayomer Hashem la Dog, Vayokeas Yonah el Hayabasha. Hashem spoke to the dog, and it spit Yonah back onto the dry land. So now this pasuk we have to deal with according to all the explanations that we said. According to Pirkei de Beleza, we're only talking about one fish, and the fish just gave Eitzah, and we're not darshing dog and daga, so there's no question over here. Fine. According to the Medrash that says that first he was in a male fish, okay, let's leave it for a moment, but according to the Zohar, that says first he was in a fish, and then it died, and then it came back to life, also we don't have a question over here. Because first it says dog because it was alive, then it says daga because it was dead, and now it says at the end dog again because it's alive again, because he davened for it to come back to life and it came back to life. So fine. So here it says dog, it makes sense. But according to this explanation from the Midrashim that Rashi and all the other Mefarshim in Yonah bring down, that first he was in a male fish, and then there was too much room for him, so Hashem put him in a female fish so that he would daven. So why does it say after he finished davening, Hashem spoke to the dog and the dog spit him out? It should say he spoke to the dog, because Yonah was in the dog, not in the dog. He was in the female fish at this point. So the Mefarshim say, the Metzudas in Sefer Yonah, the Marsha over here in the Darim, and the Medrash Talpiyos on the word Yonah, they all say the same thing, that Yonah was, according to this Medrash, the way you have to understand is, first Yonah was in the dog, and then the male fish, and it was too much room for him. Then Hashem had him spit out and put into the female fish, the daga, and that's when he started davening. And then, once he started davening, Hashem put him back in the male fish. That it says dog when he got spit out. He got spit out by a dog because he went back to the first fish. That's what these three Mefarshim say. Mitzudas, the Marsha, and the Medrash Talpiyos. However, the Marsha asks like this. I don't understand. Why did Hashem have him put back in the original in the original male fish?
Because he prayed.
He was commanded to be the one to spit him out.
So one second. that's the Marsha leaves off with a question. The Marsha writes, he asks this question, it says, V'yesh liyashiv. There's the answer, but he doesn't want to say the answer. The Marsha doesn't, it's not uncommon for the Marsha to ask a question, and instead of giving the answer, he just says, there's an answer, Yesh Li Yashiv. There's a sefer from Rav Chaim Kanievsky Shlita, it's called Yishuv Adas. Rav Chaim Kanievsky, it's one of his first svarim that he wrote, something like 60 years ago or something like that, called Yishuv Adas, where he goes through every time the Maharsha asks a question and says Yesh L'Yashiv, he explains what the answer is. And Sefer Yishuv Adas, Rav Chaim Kanievsky brings this Maharsha and he says the answer is like this, that Hashem only appointed to swallow Yonah a dung. Like we said in our Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, Rav Chaim Kanievsky brings this, that Hashem, this dog is Mamuna Ayisai HaDog Levlei Yisrael Mishishis Yimei Bereishis. It was already appointed from Shishis Yimei Bereishis. This dog, right? That was what Hashem appointed to swallow Yonah. Just, there was a side thing. Hashem wanted him to daven, he wasn't davening. So in order to get rid of that issue, Hashem put him in a female fish. The moment he started davening, you don't have that issue anymore. So he went back to the dog that was originally supposed to house him. That's what Chaim Kanievsky says. Gishmak a shtickle pilpul over here. I don't agree with him bringing Pirkei Rabbi Elazar as a raya to this, because Pirkei Rabbi Elazar doesn't hold that there were two fish. So you can't bring a raya from the fact that it said, oh, there was this dog was set aside from Sheshes and Mebrashes. So that tells you that, like, even if there were two fish and he went to the female fish because he wasn't davening, so that he would go back to the male fish, because Pirkei Rabbi Elazar doesn't say there were two fish. There was only one fish. So you don't have a raya from Pirkei Rabbi Elazar. But that's from Chaim Kanievsky's teretz. The Chassam Sefer also says a teretz that Hashem, it doesn't say that the dog spit out Yonah. It says Hashem spoke to the dog and it spit out Yonah. So it could be what happened was Hashem spoke to the dog to tell the dog to spit out Yonah. The Chassam Sefer has a whole thing about that Hashem doesn't speak directly to females. And there's kasha from different Nevi'ahs or whatever, but you can look at the Chassam Sefer there in Nedarim Daf Nun Aleph from Adbeis. Where am I?
Also explains the big dog's reticence not to just spit Yonah out when the female was to him, because he was appointed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Task since creation.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for this. Why is he doing that now?
Tom, also, I have another question that I had. It, according to this medrash, that dog means male fish and doga means female fish, so you can go. You can ask again the Gemara's question. By Makas Dam, it says, V'adoga shebiyar mesa. The doga that was in the river died. So you ask, like what Gemara asked. So only the female fish died by Makas Dam and the male fish didn't die by Makas Dam? It's the same thing that the Gemara asked if you're learning that dog and doga is big and small. So you can ask the same question. I don't know. Fine, let's finish off the story over here. Ro ha-malachim, we're up to the words, Ro ha-malachim es kol ha-isis v'anifloyis ha-gedoyis shasa kadish baruch leim yoyna. The sailors that were originally on the same boat as Yonah, they saw all these signs and these wondrous things, these great wondrous things that Hashem did with Yonah. Apparently they also saw when the fish ended up spitting him out. The Red Dots maybe went back to where they were before and caught up with the boat just so they could show these people. What did they do? Mi'ad amdu v'yishlichu ishes elihov bayam. Each guy got up and he threw his god into the sea. According to Targum Yonis, and we said last week, they already did this when there was a storm. But here the men are saying that they dafka did it now. They threw their idols into the sea. Shenemar, mishamrim hevli shav chazdam yazivu. They forsook their hevli shav, their vanities of profanity. V'chazru liyafoi, what did these people do? They went back to Yafo. V'alu Yerushalayim, and then they took a bus and went to Yerushalayim. Umolu es b'sar arlosam, and they circumcised themselves. Shinemar v'yiru hamalochim yiru gedolo es Hashem v'yizbuchu zevach Hashem. The sailors had a great fear of Hashem, and they brought a zevach to Hashem. They brought a korban to Hashem. The Radal points out that this pasuk was actually written before the whole story of Yonah getting swallowed by the fish. But we're dashing it in sort of a sequential order. The pasuk just wanted to say it earlier because it just wanted to finish off what happened with the sailors and then just talk about Yonah. But here we're saying the story in chronological order. So they went back, so they went to Yerushalayim, and then they gave themselves a circumcision, and we're going to see that they became gerim. But it's an interesting nekuda that's pointed out over here. It says Dafka, they went to Yafo and they went back to Yerushalayim, and they went up to Yerushalayim, and then they circumcised themselves. Why didn't they, if they wanted to become gerim, why didn't they circumcise themselves right there on the spot on the boat? You want you 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 Shehuim mitzvah mishahinan. The Gemara says when a ger decides he wants to become a ger, miyad mekablan they say shehuim mitzvah lo mishahinan. They don't wait. So why don't they do it there?
Of course.
Oh, so Gvuras Yitzchak from Rav Yitzchak Saratsky and Shlita, and his sefer not Gvuras Yitzchak, Rinas Yitzchak. Why not write Gvuras Yitzchak? That's a mistake. Rinas Yitzchak on Sefer Yaina, he writes that because we pass in the Shulchan Aruch Hilchas Geiris and Yeridei Simin Reish Samaches, that when a ger does a circumcision, l'chatchila it has to be done in front of three dayanim. B'di'evet, if it's done in front of one Jew, that's good enough. But over here, Yonah is not around. Yonah was in the sea and tossed off into dry land already. Yonah was in the sea. There's definitely no Bezdin on the boat. So they decided to wait till they got to Yerushalayim. They went in front of the Bezdin, so l'chatchila they did the bris milah like that. Oh. So it says in the pasuk that they had fear of Hashem, v'yizbuchu zevach l'Hashem. They offered sacrifices to Hashem. Now the word zevach or zvachim, b'derech klal, I think we mentioned this before in the perek. Perek Tes, I believe we mentioned this, that the word zevach is mashma a korban shlomim. Is a korban oila. So it says vayizbichu zevach. They made a zevach. Zevach is a korban shlomim. But we know that we don't accept korban shlomim from a guy. We only accept a korban oila from a guy. But halay ain't mikavel zevach min a guy. We don't mikavel zevach a shlomim from a guy. Rather, what happened? Ella, what does it mean vayizbichu zevach? They slaughtered a zevach. Ella zehu dam bris shehu kedam zevach. What it means that they slaughtered a zevach doesn't mean literally a zevach. It's talking about the dam bris, a bris mila, which is like the dam of a zevach. The way I would say it is that
korban toda is a shlomim.
A toda is a type of a shlomim. Yeah.
Yeah, you get it.
Oh. Yeah. We the pasuk in the beginning of parshas in parshas Vayikra. The pasuk in the beginning of parshas Vayikra says. Adam kiyakiv mikem. That's the introduction to korbanos. The end of korbanos. The Adam kiyakiv mikem. A man when he brings from himself korban la Hashem, he brings a korban la Hashem, whatever. Mina ksavim and izim. Right. But it says Adam kiyakiv mikem. Literally, if you translate the pasuk super literally, it means a man when he brings from himself. A korban, like the Ramban talks about in the beginning of Parshas Vayikra, the inyan of a korban is a person supposed to look at it like he's getting slaughtered. A person brings something from himself to Hashem. That's a way of getting closer to Hashem. Korban means to become close, karev. Right? So a bris milah is the exact same thing as a korban. A person is here. It's even more than a, he's literally giving from himself to Hashem. A korban you bring from your flock, or you pay some money from your pocket and you bring a korban. Here he's literally giving up from himself to be closer to Hashem. So that's what it means that dam bris shu kedam zevach. The dam of the bris milah is like a dam of a korban shlomim. Interestingly, we have the Mishnah in Avos. The Torah, we know what Torah is. We know Gemilas Chasadim. We know Gemilas. What's avoda? So avoda is korbanos. That's called avoda. So the question is, what about nowadays? If the world only exists on these three things, nowadays we only have two out of three. There's no korbanos. Huh? Oh, so that's what Rabbeinu Yonah says, what you just said. That we have tefillah, so tefillah is avoda nowadays. But the Moish of Zakenim in Parshas Tzav says, what's avoda nowadays? Bris milah. So that's the moment we're talking about. And the pasuk says, "V'nodru v'shilmu lahavi ishes ishtei ve'eskola sheloi liyiras elikei yoina." And they promised and they fulfilled their promise each man to bring he and his wife and everything that he owns to the God of Yona. V'nodru v'shilemu, and they promised it and they fulfilled their promise and they became gerim. V'aleimu oimer ala gerim gerit tzedek. And that's what it means when we say in Shemoneh Esrei, we talk about al tzadikim etc. of al gerit tzedek. We're talking about these type of people that saw Nisim of Hashem, and that was more them to want to become closer to Hashem, and they give up their lives to become Jews. That's what it means. Al-Gerim Geri Tzedek. And that is the end of the story of Yonah. Thank you for coming.
Did you find 1 second? Any good other thing anywhere else that said something else? Like they gave tzedakah?
No, I didn't see, but I didn't look.
Because only Rashi brings this chapter name, or Gaia, and... Ladakh and Malmi.
Ah.
One says they give tzedakah. One says they actually went to Yerushalayim as goyim and brought olos.
Oh, olos.
But nobody, only Rashi thinks.
Okay.